Welcome to the Book Show, a celebration of reading and writers. I'm Joe Donahue. Isabel Allende's new novel, Violeta, is a sweeping epic that tells the story of a woman whose life spans 100 years, from 1920 to 2020, and bears witness to the greatest upheavals of the 20th century. Told through a series of letters to the person she loves most in this world, she reflects on a rambunctious childhood filled with both love and turbulence, her first encounters with feminism, passionate love affairs, and devastating heartbreak. Isabel Allende won worldwide acclaim in 1982 with the publication of her first novel, The House of the Spirits. Since then, she has authored 26 best-selling and critically acclaimed books, which have been translated into more than 42 languages. Again, the latest novel is Violeta, and it is a great pleasure to welcome Isabel Allende back to the Book Show. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be in the Book Show.
I love having you here. I love this novel, and it's a wonderful pleasure to speak to you. What I learned in reading an article about you before I read the book was that this actually came shortly after the death of your mother. And so the obvious question is how that impacted the writing of a book about this woman, Violeta.
Well, my mom, like Violeta, was born in 1920 in the southern part of South America. That was when the Spanish flu reached that part of the continent. Because it took a much longer time for the virus to extend globally because communications were not that good. And this was right after the First World War, when even commercial flights had been suspended. So it was that's the time when my mother was born. And she died at 98, shortly before our pandemic. If she would have lived a little longer, she would have been born in one pandemic and died in the other one, 100 years. Mm. Those 100 years were fascinating. It was a time of great change all over the world. And in South America, it was a striking century. When my mother died, several people who knew her said, given that we had this extraordinary intimate relationship, and I have thousands of letters from my mother, they said, why don't you write about her? But you know, Joe, I couldn't. I am just too close emotionally, and I just couldn't do it. So I created a character that was like my mother. Many of my mother's qualities are in Violeta, and lived the same period in the same place, because I really wanted to tell about that, about the historical events. So that's how the book came to be. And the difference between Violeta and my mother is that Violeta, from a very early age, can make a living. And she, therefore, has independence, which my mother never had. She was raised to be a señorita, so she was first supported by her father, then the first husband, then the second husband, and eventually by me. She could never develop fully all her talents.
And reading about Violeta's independence is fascinating because that can go well or not well, depending on the moment and the moment that it is happening in our history. In the very beginning, there is a letter to the grandson that she is writing to, and she says, I think you'll see that my life story is worthy of a novel because of my sins more than my virtues. In what you were just talking about, that seems to be more of interest to you.
Well, Joe, you cannot write a good book, or any story for that matter, with people who are happy and virtuous. Those people go to heaven and that's it. They will be bored in heaven. But why will we bore the readers? We need villains. We need sins and tragedy, don't we?
I think so. Well, we certainly have it, whether we want it or not, right?
Yeah.
But this is not a person who is a bad person or an evil person. This is a lovely woman who is there to say, kind of bring it on and let's see what happens.
Yeah, she's not a villain, but she doesn't shy off from risk, adventure, love affairs. I think that she confronts life in a way that is risky, and she shows her vulnerability over and over. She makes many mistakes. The fact that she stays with that lover, with Julian, for so many years,
yes,
and puts up with all the abuse, that's sort of unbelievable in a woman that is so strong as she is. However, I have a foundation, and I work with abuse to women, among other projects that we have. And I have seen often that very strong, capable, smart women not only put up with the abuser, but often when they are rescued or they are able to get out, very soon they go back. There is this emotional attachment, and they can't get away.
And for Violetta, those moments of also helping that character later on, even though it's probably against her best interests or even what she would really want to do, but because of the children, right? That enters into it as well.
Well, the children, but also, as I said before, that emotional dependency.
Right.
And the guy is fascinating. I mean, any woman would be seduced by a guy who is a legendary hero, who is handsome, can sing, can dance, can make them feel unique, special. The guy is a real playboy.
Hmm. And what do you think it says about the time, too? I mean, I was thinking about that in reading it, this character, because you mentioned several times, you sort of lose track sometimes of exactly when we're talking about, and then you bring us back and say, okay, well, this was 1940 or this was 1960. The time is interesting because that does have some bearing on how, as a society, we look at different situations.
Well, a lot of bearing. When she's a young woman, the pill had not been invented. She couldn't even control her fertility. Women were of her social class were not supposed to work, and women who worked in terrible conditions and made very little money. Women couldn't even vote when she was young. So she witnesses all the progress and the upheavals of the time.
Isabel Allende is our guest on the book show this week. The novel is Violetta. Given that this was written after the death of your mother and so many people had encouraged you to write about your mother, you're still writing about a woman who lived during the time that your mother did. Did that help in the healing? Did that help in the grief at all? Did it work in any way through the process of obviously your writerly life and also your emotional life with someone who meant so much to you?
I don't think so. I was very entertained creating this life for my mother, the life that Violetta has. It didn't have the same effect that another book that I wrote when my daughter died. When my daughter died, I wrote a memoir called Paula, and that helped me immensely to get through the first year that was awful. But in my mother's case, I was expecting her death. She was very old, and it was just wonderful that I could have her for so long. But it didn't create that same kind of terrible loss that I had with my daughter. I sort of lived with both of them inside me, as if I was living for them in a way.
Hmm. Do you understand why you were so close, the closeness of the relationship that you had with your mother?
Yeah, she cultivated that even before I was born. When she was pregnant of me, she was recently married, 20 years old, living in a foreign country with a man who was awful, my father. And from the very beginning, she was very unhappy. So she has told me this, that she would talk to the baby inside her and made the baby her confidant, her friend, her everything. It was the anchor that kept her sort of stable somehow. And then I was born, and the terrible marriage went even worse. And so my mother became very attached to me. And we were very close, and she developed this closeness to the point of dependency. And only very recently in therapy, I have been able to understand the role I played in her life. And I don't love her any less for that. But I was burdened from infancy with the responsibility of making her happy. And so she cultivated this closeness by writing to me every single day, because we were separated most of our lives. She remarried with a diplomat, so she traveled a lot, and we would correspond daily. At the beginning, it was snail mail. It would take sometimes a month for a letter to come from Turkey to Chile, but then we could write more. I mean, in a better way with faxes, and then eventually with email. When email was invented, my mother went crazy. She would write to me two or three times a day. So I, since 1987, when I immigrated to the United States, I collected her letters and a copy of my letters. And I would put them yearly in a plastic box with a year marked. Well, recently, my son discovered that many of the letters are being destroyed by humidity and time. So he decided to archive everything and digitalize the letters. And they calculated that there are between 600 and 800 letters per box, a total of around 24,000 letters.
Wow.
It's all of my mother's life there in the garage.
And I would assume that's a blessing, right? That is something that you have that is an amazing artifact of, well, your relationship, but also of your mother.
A time. I think that we forget how life was a couple of decades ago. What I miss the most is the letter I would write to her at the end of the day. Because now that I don't record every day, days blend into each other and I forget what happened yesterday.
You mentioned early on that the difference between Violeta and your mother was that your mother was always depended financially on someone. Was that a burden for you?
No, for me it was very clear. I was a child and I was very clear that my mother was very vulnerable, that she was submissive and vulnerable and angry. And I didn't want to be like that. So I was 16 when I got my first job. And I didn't go to college or do any higher education because I wanted to support myself. And I worked all my life, sometimes two or three jobs. And for me, it's natural. So in a way, as a reaction against my mother's dependency, I have been always able to support myself, my children, and other people around me. And I'm blessed because of that. I really am.
This is a woman who is born to a conservative and wealthy Chilean family, Violeta, a status that changes when the Great Depression leaves them homeless. But even then, the resilience that Violeta has comes through very quickly.
Yes, she has a very strong character, but she has a lot of support. And when they go what they call exile, but it isn't really exile, they go to the southern part of the country, to a very rural area, where she blossoms, because she has the support of the whole community, wonderful people around her. She has those aunts. The mother is helpless, but she has a couple of aunts that are the pillars of her childhood.
She is very good with the business and with the part of her family that deals with those businesses, right? I mean, she's keeping her eyes on the prize.
Yeah. I think that she realizes, as I did very early, that she has to support herself. And I don't think she would have been able to do all what she did, stay with Julian, raise her children alone, if she couldn't work.
Do you see, and I think this is just in what you were just saying, and the difference between your upbringing and your mother, who was very dependent, and you living through that and seeing that obviously from what you just briefly described, you see a little bit of you and Violeta.
Yeah, I think that the author is always between the lines. Why do we choose? Yeah, why do we choose those characters, and they have to say those things because they're speaking for us. And I am always interested in strong, independent, resilient characters, mostly women. But in Violeta's case, much of what she lives, I lived it too, because my mother was only 20 years older than me. I will be 80 this year. So I witnessed part of the century, and I was also part of everything that happened, you know, of feminism, of political upheaval, of all the social changes. So I can tell that from a very personal perspective.
The feminism is fascinating. Obviously, you consider yourself a feminist, and we see that in this character of Violeta at times. During that the century that you're writing about, that was not the norm, obviously.
No, my mother had never heard the word before I introduced it into the family. And she didn't know what was wrong with me. Why was I so angry? Why was I rebelling against something that was established by God, that women were to be dependent and submissive? Later on in life, my mother, who was a very smart woman, got it. And she wished that she would have adopted it earlier. In my case, I have been marked, determined by my fight against the patriarchy, against male authority, since I was very young, when it was not the fashion at all. I mean, real feminism arrived in Chile, I would say, in the late 60s.
Do you think that there is a link and not an inextricable link, but a link to Catholicism and to religion that often makes that difficult to break away? You are agnostic, so that comes, I would think, as a result of fighting that patriarchy, as you mentioned.
Of course, there's nothing more patriarchal than organized religion. All of them, not only Catholicism.
Right.
Tell me one that is not patriarchal.
And yet in this novel, you have the character of the grandson as a priest who is very progressive.
Yes, and he's based on a person I know. My best friend in Chile is a Jesuit priest who lives and works in the slums. He inspired the character of Camilo, and I thought that it was an interesting contrast having that grandmother who raised him and become a Jesuit, but also she educates him in a Jesuit school, so he has that background. And why does he choose that school and no other? Because of the structure that it would provide for the kid that was pretty wild. And that's what I did with my son. Mm. Being completely agnostic as I am, I put my son in a Jesuit school because he was just uncontrollable. And they did a very good job, by the way. He's not religious at all, but he has all the values that the Jesuits instilled in him. Service, honesty, a lot of things that are really good.
The special bond of someone that is such a good friend, I assume that also comes not only from the friendship and the relationship, but also from the work that they do of someone who is a Chilean Jesuit priest, but also is a social activist and very critical of the church while working with the church, but really working from the inside out.
Yeah, he's a celebrity in Chile, exactly because he works. Most of the time, he's completely against anything that the bishops might say. And therefore, every time there is any issue, let's say abortion, gay marriage, whatever issue is in the press, immediately they interview Felipe because he always has an opinion that goes against the church. And that's why I love him, because he's challenging everything. He wants to change everything from within. His vision of a future world, comes from a Catholic point of view. Mine comes from a completely secular one, but it's the same. We both want the same for the world.
Was your education a Catholic education?
Yes, to a certain point. First of all, when I was little, I went to the nuns, German nuns in Chile. Can you imagine that?
No.
I was expelled at age 6 because they couldn't stand me. My family was Catholic. I went to Catholic schools. But then eventually when my mother remarried and I started traveling with my stepfather, I went to a Protestant school in Lebanon.
Was that any different? I mean, again, organized religion.
Yes, but it was not like the Catholic Church,
right,
as I had lived it in my family.
You write in this novel about there is a character, Nieves, who is the daughter of Violeta, that Violeta writes to Camilo about. And it's a fascinating character because it's a very troubled character. And it is one of the characters that really marks Violeta, because much of her life is marked by death, and this comes in a great way from her daughter. Give us a sense of what brought you to that of writing about Nieves and the troubles, because these are really a product of the times of drugs in the 60s and 70s.
Yeah, and which is still a problem.
Absolutely.
I was married for 28 years with an American man from California who had three biological children, all of them addicted. They all died from drug-related causes. One of them was a girl. She also gave birth to a child, and she died tragically, and her life was tragic. And she was a beautiful human being, but completely destroyed by addiction. So I have lived that very closely. And I know that the victims of addiction suffer horribly, but also the people around them, you know, the family and friends. It's a terrible tragedy with ripple effects that reach very far.
You mentioned earlier the memoir that you wrote about your daughter and seeing your 29-year-old daughter die, which I assume partly helps with that character and dealing with those emotions.
Yeah, when I wrote about the death of Nieves, I was really writing about what I experienced with Paula.
While that happened decades ago, it never leaves, does it? It's still very much forefront.
It never does. It's like under the skin. It's not. I'm not a sad person, and I'm not mourning for my daughter. No, but I remember her. I'm surrounded by her photographs. I remember her, and I honor her with the foundation every day. She's very present. But also, after I wrote that book, I have had for years immense response from the readers, and I get letters several a week sometimes. Mentioning Paula, either because someone has had a loss and read the book, or somebody else has a loss and they want to give the book to, so she's remembered, and that keeps her alive around me.
I think you make a point in the book, which is this that Violeta writes about, and it is with sadness, but also an understanding that it's inevitable, which is that the longer you live, the more you lose.
That my mother would say that. My mother lost, she said, you start losing your pets, and then friends, and then family, and eventually you start losing all your capacities. You lose your attention, memory, eyesight, hearing, everything. So finally, you end up being like a newborn baby.
I'm also interested in the writing of this book because it comes, you mentioned the backstory with your mother, but you're also writing, at the beginning of the book is about the pandemic of 1918 and ultimately starting in 1920. And then what we're going into, where we are now with the pandemic, and allows you to respond to that as well, which is also very much a story of loss.
Yes, yes. And both pandemics are very similar. Both respiratory illnesses, very contagious, often fatal. And the only thing that people could do then and now, before the vaccine was available, is just masks, isolation, social distancing.
Every year on January 8th, you begin writing a new book.
No. I start writing all my books on January 8th, But not every year.
Not every
year. I am free for a new book. I don't start anything new if I have not finished the previous one.
What is it about that date?
Discipline.
Do you feel that you're a disciplined person?
Oh, Joe, I am so disciplined. I could be in the military. Really. And you know, people around me are appalled. I get up at dawn. I work. And I start my books, and I finish my books. And I'm really very disciplined. And having a day to start means that I can clear the calendar. And I know that I will have time available. Also, it puts me in the state of mind to prepare for January 8th and to be ready to start something. Even if I don't know anything about the book, I have the intention. And if I show up every day, something comes up.
I'm sure you're told this a lot by your readers, but I will add to the chorus, which is, in reading about Violetta, you get to spend time with this remarkable woman, and at the end you think to yourself, oh, I wish I had a Violetta in my life.
Oh, you do? That's cute. That's
well, just cute. Because that there is no anger there. There is a person who is very clear-eyed and understanding, and yes, maybe even disciplined.
There's a part at the end when she says that she doesn't regret many things because she really never acted with a bad intention and didn't try to hurt people except the revenge against Julian, which she really tried and he deserved it.
Right, except for the revenge that is deserved.
Yeah. Revenge is always wonderful.
Well, the new book is Violetta. It is published by Ballantine Books. Isabel Allende, it's always a great pleasure to have you on our program. I thank you so much for sharing with us. What a great pleasure.
Thank you. And thank you for enjoying the book.
Again, Isabel Allende's new novel is Violetta. It is published by Ballantine. We enjoy hearing from our listeners about our shows. You can email us at book@wamc.org. And you can listen again to this or find past book shows via podcast or at wamc.org. Sarah LaDuke produces our program. Bookmark us for next week. And thanks for listening for The Book Show. I'm Joe Donahue.